Welcome to the Solomon Show. My name is Solomon Buckley. I am the apostolic leader of the Fresh Wind International Mission Space Incorporated. For more information about Fresh Wind International, you can email freshwindinternational@gmail.com. Again, for more information about Fresh Wind International, you can email freshwindinternational@gmail.com.
Well, I want to thank you, Solomon, so much for inviting me to come. It's an honor to be ministering with your group. As you said, we do have a long history together, and I appreciate very much how you keep in touch on a regular basis. Every month, you call and you let me know what's going on, what you've been doing, what you've been up to, what kind of trouble you're getting into, where you're ministering. And so those are the at Glory of Zion look for that indicate a strength of relationship and a strength of alignment. So even though we don't see you very often, I feel like we have a very strong relationship and we have a strong alignment together. And I just want to say, I just have great respect for Solomon and the way he understands authority, the way he submits to authority, supports the authority that he is serving with. I appreciate his great desire to minister, his willingness to serve, however he's asked to serve. In fact, I can remember one year when the Lord told you you really had to stop because you were doing too much and you were wearing yourself out. And but that just was an indication to me of your heart and your desire to serve the Lord and to serve the Lord's people. So I'm not exactly sure what the format is. I don't know if this is discussion or if I should just speak. But Solomon said, I had freedom to just ask the Lord what was on the Lord's heart for tonight. And what I really felt led to speak on was the apostolic understanding, how the apostolic works, the apostolic gift works, and how it works with the other fivefold ministry gifts for building up the body and seeing the church move forward. And in 2000, C. Peter Wagner began to convene those that he considered to be apostles. He had a meeting in Dallas, and I was asked to lead intercession for that meeting. And it was mainly to dialogue on what an apostle is for today, how an apostle functions, who are apostles. And it was a very interesting meeting. In those years, there was not a clear idea of the qualifications for an apostle, the function of an apostle. And so at that meeting, there were many, many ideas thrown around. And basically, we were looking at things based on who we thought an apostle was, and then tried to define an apostle based on who we thought an apostle already was. And what I came to see at that meeting was that not many people had actually gone to the Word to see what apostles were like in the Bible, how they functioned, how they were chosen, what authority they had. And so I began a study on, just from the Word, on the marks of an apostle, the qualifications for an apostle. And I was surprised by what I found. And I want to start off just by going through some of those. And Solomon, you can jump in any time that you have a question or a comment. Please feel free. The first thing I saw that was the first distinguishing characteristic of an apostle was that they were personally called by Jesus. And he said the reason he called them, first of all, was so they would be with him. The primary reason he called them was not to send them, not to send them out to minister. The primary reason, the first reason that he called his apostles was that they would be with him. And that was the first thing I noticed, that someone who is an apostle has a very unique, very close relationship with Jesus. You can tell just as you get to know them. In Acts, it's when they had called Peter and John in before the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, it said they recognized that these men had been with Jesus. And that is the first thing that you would notice about an apostle. They've been with Jesus. This is a person who spends time with Jesus. This is a person who converses with Jesus. This is a person who knows the heart of the Lord, who knows the ways of God. And they have wisdom because of that, wisdom that comes from God. They understand mysteries because they've been with Jesus. And I thought that was so wonderful because it means that the whole nature of apostleship is based on relationship. And that as these apostles went out and they began to raise up other apostles, it was based on relationship. These were fathers and sons who ministered together. They weren't just in a ministry relationship. They were in a personal relationship. So that was the first thing that I noticed about apostles. And then the second thing was so that he could send them out to minister. But without that first relationship with him, you don't get sent. And a lot of people go, but not everybody is sent by the Lord. Only those who have cultivated that deeply personal relationship with him are the ones that he sends. Another thing I noticed about apostles is that they have authority to interpret signs and sort of give the explanation for different things. And the first time you see that is on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell and there were these 120 people speaking in other languages and prophesying. And everybody was confused, and some were saying they're drunk, and some, you know, nobody knew what was going on. And Peter stood up and said, here's what this is. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy from Joel when God said, I will pour out my spirit. And this is what that is. And there was no more question about it. There was no more discussion about it. That was the word of the apostle. It had weight to it. It had truth to it. Everybody, when he said that, everybody recognized, oh, that's what this is. And the issue was settled then. And you see it again over in Acts 15 when there was a big controversy about whether or not Gentiles could be saved. Whether Gentiles could be part of the church without converting to Judaism first. And everybody discussed, it said everybody had a chance to talk. Then James stood up and he said, here's what this is. And he quoted from the Old Testament about raising up the fallen tabernacle of David. He said, that's what this is for Gentiles to come into the church. This is the fulfillment of that. And they do not have to become Jews. They don't have to proselytize and become Jews before they can be part of the church. And that settled the issue. There was no more controversy. That was the final word. And so that was one of the things about apostles was they have authority to interpret things, to say, and they also have insight. They have a great knowledge of the word so that when something like that occurs, they know immediately, oh, here's the scripture that's fulfilling. and it settles the issue because they have authority to do that. And the third thing I want to talk about, and then I'm going to move on to some other things, is that apostles are above reproach when it comes to the way that they handle money. And you see that in Acts chapter 4, when people were bringing their offerings, and they would just bring them and give them to the apostles. It said they laid them at the apostles' feet. They trusted the apostles to handle that money wisely, to handle it with integrity. They were giving the apostles money to help care for the poor. And they had no question that that is exactly what the apostles were going to do with that money. They didn't ask for any accounting. The apostles didn't have to keep receipts and, you know, turn in a report of how they used the money, how they spent the money. They were trusted. And what that said to me was, if you can't trust someone with your money, they're probably not an apostle, and you probably shouldn't give them any money. If you can't trust them, and if you require an audit or anything like that, then you probably don't want to give them your money. And the people that I know that are true apostles have so much integrity when it comes to the way they handle money. They are so unselfish. They are so generous that I never have a problem giving to them. And I never question, I never worry that they're misappropriating the money that I give them. So if someone can't be trusted to handle money, they are not an apostle. That bottom line, they are not an apostle. And that's one of the things you want to be real careful about. I'll mention one other thing about how you can identify an apostle. And that is, an apostle will have scars and bruises from all of the persecution they've endured, from all of the spiritual warfare they have endured. When Paul talks about it, I mean, I can hardly read the passages where he talks about what he's endured without crying, just because I think about how much he suffered to do what he was called to do, and yet he was so committed. He would lay his life down. He did lay his life down. But along the way, he says, I was shipwrecked. I was out in the deep for a night and a day. I've been stoned. I've been imprisoned. I've been beaten. At one point, he said he had to face wild beasts in Ephesus. He was persecuted by the Jews. He was persecuted by the Gentiles. He said, I've been hungry. I've been thirsty. I've been cold. You know, you look at that, it's not an easy life. Sometimes when people look at those who are looked at as apostles today, you think, oh man, they've got it made. They've got this, they've got that. And that is not how it is with apostles. They pay a high price for the ministry that they have, the intercession that they carry, the burdens that they carry for people. And in many places, it is actually personally, physically dangerous for them to be in ministry. And yet they do it as unto the Lord. Paul said whatever things he thought were gain in his life before he knew the Lord, he let them all go. He counted them as nothing. And he said, I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering, that I can know him in the power of his resurrection. And they expected suffering. They accepted suffering. And they endured it, and they overcame it. If someone is a true apostle, they're going to have some scars. They're going to have some wounds. They're going to have some bruises, because there is so much warfare, opposition, and persecution of apostles. But they accept it. They're very gracious. A lot of times, you might not even know what they were going through if you didn't know them well. I can remember times with Chuck Pierce. I remember one time in particular. He had been up almost all night in intercession for a particular issue, and he had been in travail, and his abdomen was literally bruised because of the travail he had been in overnight. And he saw breakthrough with this thing he was in intercession for. He saw it break. So, you know, apostles will see the results. They'll see the breakthrough from their suffering, that they do suffer. And so, apostles are men and women that we want to honor. We want to be careful in who we call an apostle, who we recognize as an apostle. For a while, it seemed as though if you wanted to honor someone, you would call them an apostle. I'm not anxious for anyone to call me an apostle because I know what it costs to be an apostle. To try to give that title to someone just to honor them is not really doing them any favors, and it's not actually honoring to them. If someone is a prophet, honor them as a prophet. If they're a pastor, honor them as a pastor. If there's someone who has the gift of administration, Sandra, it sounds like you have the gift of administration. Then honor them. I mean, Solomon said tonight, you introduced yourself as the secretary. I knew better than that. Everybody on the call knew better than that. But if someone is an excellent administrator, honor them for who they are and what they do for the body, what they do for the ministry, because actually that's for the Lord. What they're doing is unto the Lord. But be careful in using the title apostle too freely and too generally. Really, you can recognize that someone is developing, has potential to be an apostle. But I think we need to be wise in the in those that we recognize as true apostles. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about with apostles is that apostleship is a gift, and it's a gift that has a specific function, and that men and women can have that gift. And again, you don't want to, if someone is a very good pastor, you don't want to call them an apostle, because an apostle functions in a specific way. And what an apostle is able to do is he is able to go into a situation in a church where the church is out of order, and he can do what needs to be done to set the church in order. Apostles do establish churches, but the main way they function is by setting a church in order. And you can see that, especially when Paul went to Corinth, and you just see all the problems that they had in that church and how he began to address them and he began to teach them. He had to teach them so many things, personal things, personal things about their sanctification and their holy living and the way they met together as a church and discipline in the church and women in the church. Just about every problem that the church has today, it seems like they had in Corinth. And he was able to go in and set it in order. An apostle also can see who needs to be in what position. He knew which of the men that he was working with needed to be sent out. He knew which ones needed to be established in a church. He knew which ones were messengers who could carry messages, carry his letters from one church to the next. He knew which ones needed to be teachers, which ones were evangelists. An apostle just has a sense of someone's gift and how it needs to function. And that's why they can put the church in order. They can say this person needs to be doing this and this one should be doing this. They're gifted this way and they should be serving here. And it just causes the whole church to work smoothly when an apostle is in place and they're functioning the way that they're gifted to function and people are respecting their authority to do what God has gifted them to do. And that is important in the church because none of the other of the fivefold foundational gifts can truly establish a church. An evangelist can see people come to the Lord, but that's not the same as establishing a church. And a prophet can motivate people, inspire people, direct people. That's not the same as establishing a church. A pastor can lead and comfort and care for people. That's still not the same as establishing. And a teacher can teach about what a church is. A teacher can teach all kinds of things. But that's not the same as seeing a church established the way Paul writes about in Ephesians 4 when he said that the purpose of these fivefold gifts is for the building up of the body of Christ to prepare the members for ministry so that we all become mature. That's how the church is supposed to look. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. And that's what an apostle can oversee. That's what an apostle can set in order. In working with the other gifts, an apostle will see which gifts need to be developed, which gifts are strong, how those gifts need to be utilized in the church for the greatest good for the people in the church, for the community that they're serving, and for the kingdom of God ultimately. That was a lot. That was pretty much what the Lord had put on my heart to share tonight, Solomon. I don't know if there are questions or comments that people have about it.
Okay, this is what we're going to do with that, Linda. So If you have a question, please... Wait a minute. You'll speak one at a time and just state your name and your question. Questions only. Because if you get into something else, I'm going to mute your line. But just questions only. So does anybody have a question about what Linda has presented? I'm going to turn the recording off.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group that has come together tonight to seek you, to seek your word, to seek revelation as to what you're saying to the church today. Lord, I pray for each of them as you take this revelation and you begin to apply it to their lives, that they will, they'll gain the insight that you want them to have. Father, that they will see how apostles are useful and valuable for their lives. Lord, that they will, as Solomon has done, they will be in right apostolic alignment and begin to receive the benefits of that. Lord, I pray for each one of them that they would have that apostolic voice speaking into their lives that will encourage them, that will direct them. Lord, that will be the sending voice that sends them into the ministry that you have created them for. Lord, I thank you that each one of them has a special purpose that you've called them to, you created them for, you have a destiny for each one of them, and you have put apostles in the earth to help them in fulfilling the destiny that you have for them. Lord, I pray that as they are able to identify who true apostles are, that they will be able to come into that father-son, father-daughter relationship with apostles who will be able to speak into their lives, to raise them up, to release them out into ministry. Lord, I pray for Solomon that you will increase his effectiveness in ministry, and I pray that you will develop him into the minister that you have for him to be as he has assembled this group. Lord, that they will be effective in their territory. They'll be effective in their families. They'll be effective in their workplaces. Lord, effective for your kingdom. And that as we're coming into this new Hebraic year, the year of the sun, that they will honor you this year. They will honor you, Jesus, with their lives, with their words, with their testimonies, and that this will be a year where you truly are lifted up and that you draw men to yourself as you are lifted up. Lord, I release a blessing on each one of them here. I thank you, God, that you said that those who honor you, you will honor. And by taking their time tonight to set aside and come and listen to this because they are hungry for you and for what you have for them, Lord, they've honored you in this. And I ask that you will honor them, that they will see the signs of the way that you are honoring them in their lives. Lord, we want to thank you for the apostles that are among us. We thank you, God, for the men and for the women who pay the price to serve your body in this very unique way. We ask that you would bless them. We ask, God, for your presence to be with them. We ask that their ministries would be prosperous, that there would be many who are raised up and released through the ministry of apostles. Father, I just thank you for the apostles in that territory, and we just release a blessing to them tonight. We thank you for what you're doing in Missouri. We thank you that things are moving in Missouri, that your purposes are being carried out. And I pray that each one on this call tonight would be aware of what you are putting in front of them to do and would be empowered by Holy Spirit to complete the work that you've given them. Now, Lord, once again, I just release a blessing. I release a blessing from Glory of Zion onto each one of them, as that is Solomon's apostolic alignment. Lord, I just release blessing and anointing from Glory of Zion through that apostolic anointing, that apostolic alignment to each one that's listening tonight. And Lord, we love you. We honor you. We look forward to what you have to say to us this weekend at the conference that we're going to have. We are anticipating revelation to be released that will set our course for the next year. We bless you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Linda, I'm getting a quick word that I heard this earlier today, and I just felt like I had to go find the word because it was sitting in my pocket. I was in meetings all day today at work, and so you know how you write something down, and you know, and so I got this prophetic word from the Lord, and I'm just going to share it with the group quickly. But the Lord says, this is an era to take a deep breath. And I'm not speaking, I don't want anybody to think I'm talking about wearing masks or anything like that. But but this is a time to take a deep breath and breathe. Breathe and sing out. Breathe and testify. Breathe and break out into dancing and rejoicing and singing. The Lord also said, break out, breathe and break out of the limitations and the structures where you have been held captive and even restricted, says the Lord. I believe this is, the Lord is saying this is a time you're going to break out from all restrictions, and that you will break free. And I saw many of you breaking out of boundaries that were set. Some are religious boundaries. Some are boundaries that have just kept you in just one place and in one dimension. Like Linda was talking about, moving forth in revelation and understanding and moving forth in present truth. And so, Lord, we just thank you even now for the release of creativity. And the Lord says, even as you take a deep breath tonight, there's going to be an unlock of the spirit of creativity within you. And some of you are just going to start creating new things, that the Lord is just going to cause you to create new things. New businesses will form. New poems will form out of you. New sermons will form out of you because you're aligned in the proper places and because you're allowing wisdom and revelation to be imparted. So that was the word that I got. LaJuan, are you getting a prophetic word?
Yeah. And the season, this is going to be a season of fruitfulness. A season of life, a season of destiny, a season of God being transparent with his people, a season of breakthrough, a season of shift, a season of glory, a season of manifestation. That's all I'm getting, bro.
Okay. Let me turn the recording off.